Niekamp Funeral Home.
Is it time to start thinking about a new car? But the thought of dealing with the large dealerships is just too intimidating, too confusing? There is an easier way. Tallgrass Motors. Tallgrass Motors doesn't play all the confusing games the large dealerships play. Tallgrass Motors has continually been voted Bartlesville's best used car dealer year after year. Go by Tallgrass Motors today and enjoy looking at over 60 used cars, trucks, and SUVs, all priced to save you money. Tallgrass Motors, Highway 75 North in Bartlesville.
And as we mentioned, joining us this morning for our Community Connection, State Senator Julie Daniels. Thank you so much for coming in, ma'am.
Well, Charlie, thank you for calling and inviting me. It is such a treat to be with you again and to have you cycle back through Bartlesville from time to time. It's comforting to wake up in the morning and hear Charlie's voice on the radio. So thanks for having me in this morning.
Well, thank you very much for what you do. I originally talked to you over the weekend because I just wanted to make sure people knew that next Monday you have a town hall at the library for a noon
hour session. That's from 11:30 to 1 next Monday. This is the first time I'm doing this. I'm doing four town halls in four different communities in District 29. While we're still close enough to the end of the legislative session that the bills we passed and the budget are still fresh in my mind, and a lot to get their input and their questions, find out what's important to them, and truly, there's lots of legislation to already be considering next year or things that we stopped at the midpoint saying we need to know more about this. And so it just will help me a lot to know what's uppermost in the minds who wish to those who wish to attend.
Well, in other bills, I don't know which ones are and aren't, but many of them are passed and signed, but the effective date is, for instance, November 1st. There are the things that will become law, so to speak, later on in the year.
Correct. And in fact, that was one of the issues with the bundle of criminal justice reform bills that were presented this year. Some of them were amending language that didn't go into effect until November 30th of 2018. So they had not yet had an opportunity to actually be implemented. So you're right, looking at the date of legislation is very important.
And so it's something for people just to do their own homework about, so to speak.
Correct.
One item that I know that you mentioned just to me coming in the door, and I wanted to make sure that people knew that I reported on a bill on the opioid settlements that are in the process. Some have already been settled, and certainly I think Johnson & Johnson well in the works. One other that apparently right now conflicts with a new statute that the legislature passed.
Well, yes, Charlie, I chair the Judiciary Committee, so these are issues of which I'm part of the conversation. So, in fact, the amendment that we passed, and it was signed and went into effect May the 24th with an emergency, was an amendment to Title 74 of the Oklahoma statutes lists the duties and responsibilities of the Attorney General. And one of them says he or she is to pay into the state treasury immediately upon receipt all monies received by the Attorney General belonging to the state. So, in our opinion, when the Attorney General sues on behalf of the people of Oklahoma, the monies that come as a result of that lawsuit or the settlement of a lawsuit are state monies and should be paid into the state treasury so that the legislative branch of government, who's responsible for appropriating government money, can fulfill its duties. And the settlement agreement with Purdue Pharma was troubling to us because the Attorney General's opinion was that because they negotiated the settlement and the judge signed off on it, the monies were never received by the Attorney General, and therefore he could not have paid them into the state treasury. We disputed that interpretation, and so we amended this to say whether you settle, compromise, or dispose of any action, if you're representing in the interests of the state, those monies come into the treasury, and then the branch of government responsible for expending those monies on behalf of all the citizens will do their job. So we thought we had fixed that, only to find out that the latest settlement with Teva may actually also be outside what we specifically intended in amending the responsibilities of the Attorney General. So Friday, the Speaker of the House, the pro tem, and I'm glad to say the governor, all three filed a brief saying, no, 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 you may not proceed with this settlement. And if you do, The judge, if he signs off on it, now the judge, the third branch of government, is essentially appropriating dollars, and that's not the role of the judicial branch. And there are several places in our Constitution that are cited in this brief. It may sound in the weeds to people, but we're getting down to very basic constitutional provisions and whether or not they're being violated with the best of intentions by an elected official. And so we're just trying to remedy this without getting all out of sorts about it. I know some media said the legislature was miffed that it wasn't consulted. I wasn't miffed. I was looking at the law.
I believe that's the word the Associated Press used.
That's right. Yeah. But we were looking at the law and our Constitution and saying, this isn't right the way this is being done. In the first settlement agreement with Purdue Pharma, it actually says the state will establish a foundation. So the court is telling the legislature, you will establish a foundation. Doesn't say if it all goes south, will the taxpayers of the state of Oklahoma be responsible for any of that? So it sent red flags up for us, and we tried to remedy it, and we'll see what the judge does with this new brief.
Well, sitting here on the other side of the table, to me it comes down to, and we usually use this term in a federal sense, but it applies to the state as well, it's the legislative power of the purse, right?
It is, and at the federal level there are a lot of concern that the Congress has basically given up a lot of its authority to the regulatory state.
Mm-hmm.
That's also true at the state level. And I'm gratified that our new governor, for whom we gave extra authority to directly hire certain agency directors with these very big budgets, that that's going to be a way to help start bringing government more in line with what the Constitution and the structure of government intends, that the governor and the legislature are going to be in the driving seat and not so much the agencies. So this, of course, is slightly different because the Attorney General is elected statewide and has very serious responsibilities. So we need to clarify who plays what role in this. And just on another judicial topic, mm-hmm. while we're on it, I authored a bill this year. I was the Senate author of a judicial redistricting bill.
Right.
And it's to go from 9 Supreme Court districts to 5 and then 4 open seats. And if we had been able to pass my version, which would have made it retroactive to January 1, we could have used those new districts for these 2 openings on the Supreme Court right now. And if we were able to go a step further with an amendment to the Constitution, we could appoint justices as they do at the federal level. And if we did that, the governor would have had a list of people ready, and the Senate could have done its confirmation, and we could have 2 justices on the Supreme Court right now, because tomorrow they're going to hear arguments about this Medicaid expansion mm-hmm. initiative petition. We only have 7 justices, and 2 of those, of the 7, recuse themselves. So it is not, I think, fair to the people of the state of Oklahoma that this incredibly important decision about this petition is being made without a full complement of the judiciary. So again, it still sounds in the weeds to people, but it's very, very important as more and more things go to the courts. And since our Constitution has a very strong initiative and petition provision,
mm-hmm.
we're amending our Constitution a lot. You know, we did it, we've done it 2 or 3 times in the last few years. So these are things that are important to those of us who are elected to represent the people. And so the judicial branch and how it behaves and carries out its function is really important.
Well, and you're talking about 2 complementary sets of things, both the procedure involved, who is doing what, and then also occasionally arguing, you know, that you didn't necessarily do it right. So it kind of works out both ways.
Correct.
You're taking a full look at how things are done.
Yes. And, you know, it calls for our Constitution. It always called that every 10 years you would have a constitutional convention.
Right.
Sort of clean things up.
Been
of course,
a little bit.
We've never done it. And, you know, behind closed doors, going, man, we really wish we had over the years that the state had done that. Because our Constitution is quite complicated and in some place conflicts with each other. And that then allows the justices to, it gives them more fodder for making decisions fit their perspective, which then bleeds over into perhaps them acting as legislators and not not as justices. So there's a lot more conversation there, but those things popped up this morning, so I thought I'd bring them up.
And you're not prepared to answer the question, but it would be an interesting question to ask. So what do we do about that 10-year requirement at this point in time? And I don't think you're prepared to answer that today.
And I know that if we got serious about it, it would take a lot of planning to figure out what that would look like. But it's not, nothing's impossible. If you want to put your head to it and you've got serious people around the table who want to do it in a responsible manner. But no, it's not actually a conversation that's taking place right now.
Yeah. We're talking with Senator Julie Daniels this morning on Community Connection, and more in just a bit on 1400 K1.
Let's face it, planning a funeral makes most of us a little uncomfortable. Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home will help you plan ahead and save your loved ones the financial and emotional burdens of making decisions during a difficult time. Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home is experienced and here to help plan services of all faiths, customs, religions, and traditions, including cremation. It only takes a few minutes to give your loved ones peace of mind for a long time to come. Call Arnold Moore and Niekamp Funeral Home today.
See Tim Howell and his professional staff at Bartlesville's finest funeral home.
AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1, again talking with Senator Julie Daniels, and a reminder, she does have that town hall meeting a week from today at the Bartlesville Public Library, 11:30 to 1 o'clock, one of many noon-type meetings that we have in Bartlesville over the years that just people have been able to make very successful, whether it's chamber forums or like what you
Right, and it's a brown bag thing, you know, I'm not providing refreshments, but... you know, I have some slides if we want to use them, but I'll just kind of see where the audience wants to go. And since I'll be there an hour and a half, people may come in and out, so we may talk about some things a couple of times depending on the questions. But I'm really looking forward to it.
You pointed out a new website to me, and it's something that I think people need to be aware of. Some, again, will say, I don't care, but it is a what I can tell about it so far. And it's brand new, but it fulfills a promise that the governor, I think, had talked about in the campaign.
You know, the governor has a digital transformation czar, and it's the gentleman running the office of, the OMES. And we actually did appropriate an extra $16 million for this gentleman to push us to come into the digital age, streamline government, make it easier for the user. And I tell you what, citizens and elected officials, today they have launched checkbook.ok.gov. Checkbook, all one word, checkbook.ok.gov. And I clicked on it this morning, and my goodness, I am getting answers to questions with one touch of the button on different aspects of government that I am interested in. For instance, if you want to know about the restoration of the Capitol, the progress that's being made, how much money, how much they've spent, you just click on Capitol Restoration, and the bar graphs are there, and you can play a video. I'm just really thrilled with this, and it's going to get better and better. Another thing that happened this year, so that's checkbook.ok.gov, which we should all be interested in, because it may cause some red flags to go up for people and cause them to call me and say, hey, this doesn't seem right. We shouldn't be spending this money this way or that way, or I didn't know this was happening, and it's duplicative. I mean, there are many ways that this will help all of us become more engaged in making government more efficient and economical. Another bill that passed this year was a transparency bill having to do with federal dollars. Mm-hmm. All agencies are now going to have on a website all the different federal monies that they bring in, the grants, and they're going to have to show how many of those require state money to be matched. Rank them in importance, which ones are critical to your mission, which ones aren't, because over the years, agencies have gone after federal money, and those aren't necessarily approved by the legislature, but we're then on the hook for matching some of those federal dollars, and they come and say, we can't possibly do without this federal program. Mm-hmm. Well, this is going to force them to show us all the federal dollars in their agencies and let us have a little think about which ones are truly necessary and which ones aren't, and which ones obligate state monies that the legislature believes could be better spent elsewhere. So that's not up and running yet, but that's another transparency issue that I think is going to be helpful to us.
Now, are we looking at strictly state programs, or does that go into, let's say, Title I dollars that go to school systems and that sort of thing?
I would imagine that it means all federal funds. It's a short bill. I didn't bring it with me this morning. I could be wrong on that. I know the one caveat, it says that any information that you have that's confidential, anything that's tied to federal money that's confidential, that does not have to be disclosed. So yes, for somebody like the Department of Education, that might be a much more complicated exercise mm-hmm. than it would be for the District Attorney's Association or the, who might have some Department of Justice funds that come in to help them do a certain program. But again, transparency is important, and we all need to understand the numbers better because we spent more money this year than any in the history of the state of Oklahoma. And again, people say there are still needs out there. So you need to be spending this money smartly. Smartly? I don't think that's a word. You need to be spending this money intelligently. So all these things will help me as an elected official and the citizens do a better job of monitoring their government.
Speaking of money, obviously the legislature completed its responsibilities on the budget. How do you like this year's budget so far as what you think it will accomplish for the state?
I think that the structure we put in place in the House and the Senate of these subcommittees, where each of us would go and concentrate on certain budgets and try to become more expert in either arguing for or against their asks, was really, really good. And therefore, I had a role to play in that with the public safety and judiciary part of the budget. But it meant when I went into a meeting in the caucus and somebody presented on agriculture, I knew they had taken their responsibility as seriously as I did mine. So I had more confidence in the arguments they were making for the budget for agriculture and wildlife. And hopefully they saw the same with me arguing on the judiciary and the district attorneys. So the needs are still there. And I do believe in any big budget like this, I think we may have spent more money over here when I think more should have gone over here. But in the end, I was perfectly happy with the way it came out. That budget goes into effect July 1. And of course, right now, we're bringing in even more money than the Board of Equalization estimated. So in this next year, there'll be issues of do we do some supplementary fundings for some places that were left short, in our opinion. Do we put some of that money away in the stabilization fund that we resurrected from near death this year? But we also need, Charlie, to be looking at, I look at the price of oil every single day now, and it's dropped like 28% in the recent past, and it lags. So that gross production tax is coming in now, but we need to be mindful that we could be going into a soft recession. Mm-hmm. All those that receive more money this year, I think they need to be grateful and they need to do the best they can with those dollars and not assume that that same level of injection of cash will be there in the next fiscal year. Can't predict the future, no crystal ball, but I'm just saying when you look at the price of commodities, we could be entering a softer time in terms of our economy.
Which could, and I'm spinning this away on down the road, make your budget discussions next year more difficult to defend or to ask?
More difficult, but I still think maybe still increases or maybe flat. I don't see the things I've dealt with in my first 2 years, which were deficit, deficit, deficit. Mm-hmm. And again, we're being much smarter about the saving of the money. The governor's in there pushing for savings, and that's going to help cushion the blow. If you can get rid of the peaks and the valleys and be able to sustain, that's just much better government. And much better for those who rely on those state funds.
I have a long mental list of topics we did not discuss.
Oh, Charlie.
But I will send people to your town hall meeting tomorrow, next Monday.
Yes.
11:30 to 1 o'clock.
And if they need more information, they can email me at danielsoksenate.gov, or they can go to my Facebook, Senator Julie Daniels.
Thank you very much, ma'am.
Charlie, thanks for having me in this morning.
Appreciate your time and your service to the community. Thank you very much.
Well, it's an honor to serve.
Thank you very much. Julie Daniels with us this morning on Community Connection on 1400 K1. Community Connection this morning brought to you by the Arnold Moore Niekamp Funeral Home and by Tallgrass Motors. It's 9:05.
This is news from the Oklahoma News Network.